Back now to the Heartland voices we heard at the top of the program. Next door to our Oklahoma farmers, an elderly Nebraska gentleman working well past retirement age, he's 86, starts his day at his local McD's.
He drives through McDonald's, gets his breakfast.
How about a sausage McMuffin with egg and cheese?
Okay, $2.95.
Goes to the office, sits at his desk all day with CNBC on the television. And when the phone rings, he takes a call, but he reads the entire day. The only thing that's changed since I was five is that we have computers now. So he does go home and play bridge on the computer. And he'll play bridge sometimes till 2 or 3 in the morning. And it's pretty much the same every day.
He's loving it all, his $3 McMuffin, his computer bridge game, and says his daughter being productive, a Heartland value, in this case, worth $73 billion. And you can get a taste of that Heartland value watching Becoming Warren Buffett this week on HBO, how a little boy from Omaha, son of a salesman, grew up to take over a struggling textile firm to make Berkshire Hathaway a global business legend.
My dad had various nicknames for me. He'd call me Fireball sometimes because I'd start little businesses. He didn't care about money at all. He believed very much in having an inner scorecard and never worry about what other people are thinking about you. You know, just if you know why you're doing what you're doing, that's good enough.
Susan A. Buffett, Warren's daughter, says her dad agreed to do this movie because he didn't really want to write a memoir. But he did want people to know that money, even great gobs of it, is not the point of Buffett's still tied to the Heartland life.
You know, when you do what he loves and you do it as well as he does it, you end up with a whole bunch of money. But it's that's not the goal for him. The goal for him is doing it as, you know, as well as he can and better than most other people. And then the byproduct is all this money, which, you know, as everyone knows now, he's just trying to get rid of.
His dad was a salesman, and the DNA of sales is sort of partly what's responsible for, business success,
yeah,
being able to understand that. But we wouldn't say that Warren Buffett is a salesman in the classic sense. It's almost as though he's taken the skeleton of salesmanship and found a kind of deeper meaning, a deeper understanding there. What do you think's going on?
Yeah, I don't think he's a salesman at all, because he wouldn't want to be talking people into doing anything that they didn't want to do themselves. And when he started the partnership years ago, you know, he did start with some money from family members, and I think honestly, what happened inside him then was he had such a huge feeling of responsibility for those people that he cared about to do a good job. He did want to be left alone to do his thing and to be trusted. But he also, the integrity goes further with him than anybody I know, I think. And he felt so responsible for those people. But I would never, you know, if you said you have to describe your dad with 500 different words, salesman wouldn't be number 500.
How does the success go along with the ruthlessness and qualities of single-mindedness and even narcissism that we associate with American capitalism and, say, someone like a Donald Trump, who's now president of the United States?
He's a pretty humble, you know, regular guy, but he's competitive and he's focused. He's obviously extremely smart and very good at what he does, but, you know, there's no narcissism with him. That's not who he is.
How does your father handle adversity, and how is that shown in the film?
He's pretty resilient. And, when you say adversity, I think the most adversity he's had in his life has been the death of his father, the death of my mother moving. And he is good at compartmentalizing and going back and focusing. I do say in the movie that I thought I wasn't sure he'd get out of bed after my mother died. But, you know, he did. And he has a way of just turning it back to the work and focusing. And I think he deals with adversity by sitting in his office and working.
Is he a lucky man?
Yeah, I think he's lucky. I mean, he would say he was lucky to be born to the parents he was born to in this country and to be wired the way he was wired to be good at what he's, you know, good at. But he certainly has also worked hard. He's earned every penny he's earned by working very hard. But I certainly think he would say he won the ovarian lottery, as he frequently talks about. And I think that's a lot of luck.
Do you think the way in which he's preserved his values and traditions and maintained his lifestyle is a form of investing in America, which is what he talks about a lot, that it's a sticking with something that he believes has real value?
I don't know that he would think about it that hard. It's where he's comfortable. He is, you know, he can, obviously he could do anything he wanted to do. He would say he's happy in the same house he's been. He's happy, you know, taking the great-grandchildren and the grandchildren to Dairy Queen once a month for lunch. You know, he'd be happy driving the same car he had 50 years ago, but that isn't the case. But he's doing what he likes to do, and it's just really who he is.
Why do he and Bill Gates get along?
Oh, they're very similar in a lot of ways, and I think that's it. I mean, he and Bill, it's funny, when they first met, Bill had no interest in meeting him because he couldn't imagine what they would have in common. And then, of course, they met and they were like two little magnets almost. You know, they're super smart. It starts with that, I think. But they also, there's a lot of humor, I think, between the two of them when they get together. And, you know, they have a lot in common to talk about. And they're interested in the same things. And, of course, my dad has gotten more and more into the Giving Pledge work and the philanthropy work. And Bill is, you know, really great at that. And they have a lot to talk about.
Donald Trump embodies this idea of riches and power, but it seems that your father embodies a different notion, riches and responsibility.
Yes.
How does he articulate that, if he does?
I mean, I think it's more in his actions than actually what he says. You know, first of all, nobody would believe the way he actually lives. You know, he lives in the same house we grew up in, and it's a nice house, but he's there, he's happy, he isn't buying a bunch of material things. And my mother was so into social justice and civil rights, and he was right there behind her. He was at the office, but he was right there with her philosophically and backed her up in everything she did. And he saw so much how unfair and unjust so many things are in this country and around the world. I just think he thinks it would be wrong if we weren't all trying to do something to make the world better.
Is there a quality to Warren Buffett that will go with him, that will pass? What are the simple qualities that you'll miss about him?
Well, the first word that comes to mind is integrity. He set such a wonderful example for all of us, and my mother did too when we were kids, of just being an honest, good person who finds value in everyone and feels that, you know, we're all here on equal footing and here to do what we can for each other. You know, my mother says in the film, there's no finer human being. And, you know, my dad just has a lot of very good, it's not about the money at all with him. And, you know, that's, I hope, what comes through in the film too.
I think this film is, you know, is meaningful in ways that people will be surprised by.
I agree. I hope so.
Thanks so much, Susie.
Thank you.
Becoming Warren Buffett is airing on HBO.